looking at some pictures the other day of on Facebook of Johnny Nix Jr. And I thought, how in the world did he get that old without the rest of us getting that old, right? But, yeah, just see the fruit of that labor and appreciate Brother and Sister Nix. They've been faithful, and you've been faithful to help them. So God bless you. Amen. Take your Bible this morning just for a few minutes, if you would. Look in the Gospel of John with me. The Gospel of John, John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. And Jesus is, of course, in the early part of the chapter, he forgives the woman that was caught in the act of adultery. And then beyond that, Jesus begins to tell everybody about how he is the light of the world and part of the I am's that go on in the Gospel of John. But down in verse number 30 is where I want you to look with me this morning, if you will. And let me get my... There I am.
I think I'm on now, Brother Daniel. And the Bible says there in verse number 30, and he spake these words, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would, this morning. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this morning. Thank you for the good service, the good spirit, all the good blessings of God, the music, and these men coming and sharing their hearts and telling their stories. I pray now, God, that we'd continue to pray for them, remember them, and that you'd bless them and keep them in all of these things. And Lord, again, I thank you for just loving us and bringing us here to this place today. Thank you that we know the truth and that the truth has made us free. We praise you. Thank you for that. Save that one that's lost here this morning. Bring them to a place of understanding and a place of acceptance and a place of realization about their own sin. And we'll just praise you for what you do for us. We love you today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I want to preach to you just for a few minutes, if I can, about getting to the truth. Getting to the truth. Now you see it mentioned, and you hear people say this a lot of time about what Jesus says about the truth. But you see what Jesus says in verse 32. He said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then again, Jesus says that in verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And I want to think with you, and I want you to think with me this morning. Let's just think about getting to the truth. Getting to the truth. Now, everybody talks about truth, don't they? In our world today, oh, everybody's got some explanation and some word about the truth. But the truth sometimes seems to fluctuate according to where you are. And there are even people that will say, well, that may be true for you, but it's not true for me. Or my truth is a little different than your truth. Or I see the truth in a different way than you say. I want to tell you something. When it comes to this matter of heaven and hell, when it comes to this matter of salvation, there is but one truth. Amen? There's just one truth. And I'm glad that Jesus said that he was the truth, the way, and the life. And no man could come to the Father but by him. Amen? Now, I want you to understand, Jesus begins to talk about some of these things. And as he begins to talk to these crowd, you see that, first of all, notice that he's talking to, or who he's talking to. It says, and as he spake these words in verse number 30, and that's all of the things necessarily that have preceded this, as he spake these words, many believed on him. And then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. There seems to be the understanding of our Lord that there's some people there that are just kind of those fair weather followers. Amen. I mean, they've heard Jesus say some things and they've seen Jesus do some things. And now they say, well, let's just jump on the Jesus bandwagon. Amen. You ever been there and done that yourself? When things are going good in some particular instance that you said, well, you know, I'll just hitch my wagon up with them, or I'll join this crowd because it seems like things are going good and that everybody likes them and it's popular and let's follow this. And I believe that that's the way many of these folks are right now at this point. But I'll tell you, just from what you read and as you and I read, Jesus isn't real convinced about their believing, is he? He begins to talk to them and he says, let me just tell you some things and speak to you about the being an absolute disciple of Jesus. Do you know there's some things that you and I need to find about being an absolute disciple of Jesus? There ought to be some stuff that'll show up in your heart and in your life if you are an absolute disciple of Jesus. You see what he says about that? First of all, he says this. He said, if you're my disciple, you'll want to continue with me. You see what he said? If you continue, in verse 31, in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, you need to get in the word. You need to get in the book. You need to get in the gospels and understand what Jesus says and get ready to continue in that train of thought. Oh, you know what we do? Well, you know, preacher, I heard the Bible said, but I believe this and I believe. It doesn't matter what you and I believe. You and I need to, if we're going to be a real absolute disciple of Jesus Christ, you and I have got to understand we've got to continue in the Word of God. And you know what that means? Sometimes you ain't going to like it. Sometimes it's going to rub you the wrong way. Sometimes it's going to hurt your little bitty feelings like it does mine. Amen. I mean, sometimes that's going to happen. But you know what that means? That means you've got to say, Lord, you're right and I'm wrong. Amen. And there's many times we have to do that. If you want to be an absolute disciple with him, you've got to do that. You've got to continue. You've got to continue. And that word continue has the thought behind it. Jesus said, continue in my word. That means abide in it. Welcome it in. Live with it. You remember? Hey, Jesus came down here to dwell with me and you according to the book of John chapter number 1. Hey, that he came and he dwelled among us. He stayed for a while. He was here and he was brought into this world. He abode here. He set up his abode here. He made and pitched his tent right here for a while. That's what that means to continue. It doesn't mean to come every once in a while, hear somebody preach and say, yeah, preacher, I agree with that, and then go on your merry way and do your thing. It means to continue. It means every day. That means every hour. That means every minute. That means every second. You and I got to be followers of the Word of God. Amen. There's no place to back up on this book. You and I are going to be absolute disciples. We got to do that. But don't you know this? If you're going to be an absolute disciple, you've got to continue in the Word, but you also got to have some confidence. Look in verse number 32. And ye shall know the truth. You've got to have some confidence in something. Hey, when the Lord shows you the truth, you need to put your confidence, you need to put your trust in his truth. Amen? You know what I've done? I've just made my mind up that I'm just going to trust his word. And you know what? Again, sometimes that's not real popular. It's not real taken with everybody. But it's still the truth. And you know what? I'm just going to trust him. A lot of folks say, oh, preacher, don't you think that if people have any kind of religion and any kind of belief, we're all going to heaven. We can just take a different road. I don't believe that. That's not the truth. Amen? Well, you sure are narrow-minded. I'm as narrow-minded as this book right here will let me be. Amen? And it's pretty thin, folks. Jesus said there's a broad way, and many there be which go in there. He said, but straight is the gate, narrow is the way, that leads to life eternal. And few there be which enter therein. Thank God there ain't many folks going, but I want to be one of them, don't you? Amen? I want to continue in this book. And I'm telling you, I want to have some confidence in something. I've got my confidence just dead stamped on the Lord Jesus himself. I mean, you're going to know the truth. I want to know the truth. Jesus said, if you'll get my word, you'll know the truth. You need to know the truth. What do you know? Well, I just heard what so-and-so said. No, no. What do you know? What do you know as the absolute truth? What is it? I've read this book, amen? And I'm telling you, if you'll get in this book will show you the truth in its pages, and you've got something you can put your confidence in. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded he's able, amen? Boy, aren't you glad of that today? You've got a God that you can put some confidence in. You've got a Bible that you put a confidence in. Brother Steve was talking about down at our local jail that they told him that he was going to have to do some changing on some of the things and some of the things that he stood for and something, and that he, if somebody wanted a Quran, he'd have to get him a Quran and pass them out to him. You know what he said to them? No, thank you. Right. Amen? Amen. I mean, there's no need. Why? Because we know that's not the truth. We know that that's not right. We know that that is not something you can trust. And I know there's millions today that do trust it. But can I tell you, they're trusting something false. They're trusting something that'll lead them to hell. They're trusting something that's taking them down the wrong road. But they want to throw their confidence. Can I tell you, I'm glad of what I got. And I know I can stand on it, and I will stand upon it. Thank God I got my total confidence behind the Word of God and what Jesus said. Amen? I mean, there's something we have to continue in. If you want to be a disciple, you got to continue in the Word of God. You got to have some confidence in it. And then you got to understand there is a consequence to all that. And it's not a bad thing when I say consequence. He said, and ye shall know the truth. And then what does he say? The consequence of that is when you know the truth will make you free. The truth is going to make you free. I mean, look, the truth will set you to a place where you know that you are made free. Amen? And listen, there's a difference in being set free and being made free, right? There's a difference in that. Hey, do you know that a lot of folks look back at the Civil War and they say, well, you know, Abraham Lincoln signed the declarations and paperwork and all that, and it set the slaves free. Well, for some of them, it might have set them free, but can I tell you, it made them free. There's a difference in a free man and a slave that's just been set loose from his slavery. He's still a slave. He could still be captured. He could still be taken. But when somebody makes you free, when they say you're free and nobody can own you, thank God, aren't you glad? That's what Jesus does when the blood washes you. He makes you free. He makes you free. And brother, that's what Jesus said. He said, this is the consequence of doing these things, of continuing and having the confidence in the Word of God. Then the consequence of that, you're free. Amen. You're free. Thank God those people there were so messed up, mixed up in religion, and they'd been tied down, they'd been bound by all of this mess that people are today with rites and rituals and all of this rigmarole. They're in that stuff and they don't even understand it. Amen? I mean, I know, hey, we just got through with 40 days of Lent. Amen? Now, I can remember being a kid, and I'd never heard that till I got probably in college. I didn't even understand what it was. I was at work one day, and it was one of our teachers that worked with us at this time, just kind of part-time worked with us in the pharmacy, and I had a pack of chewing gum. And I pulled out my gum, and I said, you want a piece? He said, no, thanks. He said, I gave it up for Lent. I said, what do you mean? You're chewing Lent now? I said, I got some of that down in my pocket too if you want some. Amen. Right there. He said, no. I've given up all of this for a minute. I said, what does that even mean? And he began to tell me, he was Catholic. He began to tell me what all that meant to him. And I said, so what happens after 40 days? Well, I can go back chewing gum again. Oh, that means you can go back to liquor and running around and gambling and lying and stealing stuff. But for 40 days, we're as holy can be. You better hope Jesus shows up during that time. Amen. I'm telling you, it don't matter. It doesn't matter. There's got to be a change in your heart or you're just shot dead in the water. Amen. I don't care about what them 40 days do and all that stuff. I'm telling you, thank God, you've got to be saved and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Why? Because that's the truth. And Jesus said, truth's going to make you free. Amen. So first of all, Jesus talks a little bit about that, being an absolute disciple of his. But not only that, he talks about the activity of deception that has come along. Look what he says. In verse number 33, you know what they say? They answered him, we be Abraham's seed. And we're never in bondage to anyone. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Now here's a crowd. They're under Roman rule. They have to do what Rome said. And now they're saying, well, we're free. We're free. Do you know that that's the way the world is today? Well, preacher, we don't have to listen to your preaching. We don't have to pay attention to that Bible. We don't have to get in line with that stuff because we're free. We can do whatever we want to, whenever we want to, however we want to. And that's true. You can. But brother, let me tell you, there are consequences to that life also. These folks right here were like, well, we're free. They didn't understand that they were in a place of bondage. I mean, they didn't, well, why is that? Because they didn't, Jesus answered them. Look, 27 verse number 34. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. He said, if you're tied up in sin, you're the servant of sin. He said, we're not talking about whether you were born by Abraham or born by, you know, whoever it was, whatever it was. He said, you're in sin. Well, what does that matter, preacher? Well, let me just tell you. Here's what the deal is. First of all, Jesus could have told them, and I guess maybe you and I could understand this, that sin is an inherent part of our lives. Sin is on the inside of every man that's ever been born. Amen. Till Jesus saves you. Hey, you're a sinner. Amen. You're a sinner. You're lost. And the Pharisees get all tore up over that, wouldn't they? They'd look at Jesus. They say, well, look at him. He's over there eating with sinners. He's hobnobbing and running around with sinners and with undergrowth of society. All that degraded bunch now, all that bunch of hellish. Well, he's just part of them. Brother, the Bible said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. What do you say? I'm saying sin's in there with every one of us. I mean, Paul said it straight on that, didn't he? Paul said that there's none that doeth good. No, not one. He said, we're all sinners. Amen. We come short of the glory of God. Sin is one of those inherent things. Jesus is speaking to them. You can be set free. Well, why do we need to be set free? We're Abraham's kinfolk. Yeah, again, it doesn't matter whose kinfolk you are. Brother, you're lost. Amen. Amen. My daddy was a preacher. You know what? I still had to get saved. Amen. My family had godly people. I had uncles and kinfolks that was good folk that was right with God. But you know what? I still had to get saved. It didn't matter who I was kin to. What mattered was what happened between me and my sin. Amen. Something had to happen for that. So sin is one of those inherent principles that's there. Not only that, Jesus says sin is enslaving. Not only is it inherent, he said, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. You're a slave to your sin. Amen. You ever seen them people? Oh, I've talked to them. You have too. You said, man, you ought to quit that drinking. It ain't good. I can quit anytime I want to. Matter of fact, I've already quit about 4 or 5 times. Amen. Sound like you started up again, right? Amen. What I'm saying is, hey, it's enslaving. Sin will get a hold of you. And as the old saying is, it'll take you further than you intended to go, keep you longer than you intended to stay, and cost you way more than you intended to pay. Sin will get a hold of you. Can I tell you, nobody sets out in their life and say, you know what, I think I'll be an alcoholic. They start out with one little drink. And then it progresses and it gets bigger and it gets a hold of their lives and it just becomes an absolute mess. There's nobody that says, I think I'll be a dope addict. No, they get one little pill and they get one little shot and they get one little snort and pretty soon it's a habit that they cannot seem to break free from. Amen? You can ask these two fellows here, they tell you a lot of stories. Some of those men that are incarcerated, that they didn't mean to be there, right? I didn't mean for it to get out of hand. I didn't want it to go this far. Hey, can I tell you, sin is enslaving. It'll get in your life and it'll drag you down with it. Amen? It'll drag you down. You never see the pretty, you always see the pretty picture of sin. You never see the ugly side of sin. I dare that bunch on the television to show you that little crowd drinking their beer and drinking and having fun, sitting on the beach. Show me where they're all messed up and they can't pay their bills and they're abusive to their family and they wind up killing somebody. Amen? Hey, I'm telling you, sin is enslaving. It'll get a hold of your life. It'll mess you up. It'll tear you down. It'll destroy. It'll tear apart anything that could ever be good in a man's life. Amen? I'm talking about sin. And Jesus said, if you are practicing, you commit and sin, he said, you are the slave of your sin. Amen. You're a slave to it. Oh, but I'm going to try to quit. You can't do it by yourself. That's why you need to get saved. That's why you need the Holy Ghost to move in on your life. You need to get right with heaven. Amen. You need to get right. I'm going to quit cussing. You go ahead and quit. It'll last maybe a day or two or a week or two or whatever, but it'll come back out of your mouth. It did mine. Amen. I'll guarantee you that. But, well, let me get a hold of this preacher. Yeah, you can't get a hold of it. It's got a hold of you. It's got a stronghold built up in your life. Sin is enslaving. And let me tell you this. Sin is insincere. Look at verse 35. Jesus says, the servant abideth not in the house forever. Sin is insincere in this matter right here. It'll do with you whatever it wants to. Do you know what the servant, the slave is? You know what the masters could do with a slave? He could sell them anytime he wants to. They don't belong to that house, if you will, that place. That owner. He don't have to do. He owns them and he can do with them whatever he wishes. However he please. Oh, preacher, as I said, people are like, well, I can quit drugging, I can quit drinking, I can quit all of this alcohol and all whatever. Oh, anytime I want to. Can I tell you, you're a slave to it. You're hooked up with it and you can't get away from it because it will grab a hold of you. And let me tell you, it will treat you any way that it wants to. Do you know there are no guarantees as a slave had? A slave had no guarantee. Oh, master, all I can hear at this house. Well, let me tell you, I'm selling you. I'm getting rid of you. I'm moving you off. But there's nothing you can do. Can I tell you, sin's the same way. There's nothing you can do about it. It owns you. It's embedded. It's dug in. It's down deep. And sin's got a hold of you. And brother, sin will talk to you in insincerities. What I mean is it'll promise big, but it'll deliver very little. It'll say, oh, look at this sweet picture. Look at these bright lights. Look at this big thing. And then the next thing you know, it sold you into the alleyway. You've lost your home. You've lost your job. You've lost your family. You've lost your dignity. You've lost everything that you got. And sin will just laugh and laugh and laugh at you some more. Amen? I mean, hey, he says, the servant, the person that's a servant, they're not going to dwell in that same place forever. Well, I like it here. Amen. Can I tell you, I believe that little old boy that left the house with daddy's money, amen, the story of the prodigal son, I believe he liked it out there in the world. I believe he said, boy, I like. But you know what happened? He spent, well, the Bible said he wasted all of his substance on riotous living. And then what happened? Well, sin had him. And he began to be in want. He joined himself to a citizen of that country. It's got him. Can I tell you, sin will get you and it'll keep you there. And you know what sin had him doing? A nice little old Jewish boy from a Jewish family, he's down feeding the hogs. And he's so hungry that the Bible said he fain would have eaten the husks that the pigs, the swine did eat. I mean, he was so hungry. How'd he get there? Sin had lied to him. Go out to the bright lights in the big city, and boy, everything will be great. But you know, when he was out of money and out of friends and out of everything else, his sin let him hit rock bottom. Amen? Oh, you're not going to stay at the house forever. Sin will sell you down the river. It'll sell you somewhere exactly where you don't want to be is exactly where it will place you. So Jesus, you know the story of Abraham. And Abraham had a son named Ishmael. You remember? You remember how that his wife Sarah came in and she said, "Send them away." Well, what could Hagar say? Well, I've been around this house a long time. You know what that counted? Zero. She was a slave to her master. And Abraham said, "I'm sorry." I mean, he was really, really was upset about it. God told him, "Don't worry, I'll take care of him." But he was upset, and he said, "You got to go. But we belong here. I was raised here. Ishmael was born here. It doesn't matter. You got to go. You got to go." And you know the heartbreak and the terrible times that came through all of that. You know why? Because the servant, the slave, doesn't abide at the house forever. They're not there for all time. And guess what? Abraham got to stay. Sarah got to stay. Isaac got to stay. But Ishmael and Hagar, you got to go. Can I tell you, sin will get a hold of your life, and one day it'll say, "You got to go." You may have to go to the hospital. You may have to go to the prison. You may have to go to the car and live in it. You may have to go under the bridge and live there. But sin will destroy and tear down your life. And Jesus is telling these folks here, he's talking to them about the activity of deception. There's an activity of deception. But thankfully, listen, there's one more thing that he talks about. Jesus speaks about the all-time, almighty power of his deliverance. Amen. Look in verse number 35 in the latter part. He said, "But the Son abideth ever." He said, "And if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Do you know that when a person in that day, especially a Roman family, if they adopted a child, you know what they got? That child got the same rights as a free-born or a natural-born child in that family. That child was as a son. Now, people look at him and say, "Well, you adopted him." He said, "He's my son. He's just like my son. There's no difference in him. He is legally and he is contractually my son." And Jesus said, "Listen, I'm going to save you. I'm going to put you in. I'm going to adopt you into the family of God." Amen. And when I do, you've got all the rights and privileges of a free-born son. He said, "If the Son makes you free." Amen. If Jesus comes in and makes you free, if he gets rid of all your sin, if he changes your life, woo, thank God you in. You're one of the fathers. You're a child of the King. Amen. Can you see that? Do you realize that? I mean, he talks about here the person that brings this deliverance. He said, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free." It's the Son. Can I tell you, I've been set free by the Son of God. He gave his life for me. He shed his blood for me. He was buried for me. And he rose again so that I can live forever. Amen. Amen. Woo, I'm telling you, the Son has made me free. I'm telling you, this thing's in a person. It's not about, "Oh, well, preacher, I'm part of this religion and I'm part of this group and I'm part of this." Listen, you can be part of all that you want to down here. You need to know the Son of God. You need to have a relationship with the Son of God. You see that it is that person that Jesus talks about. He, you know what they'd been saying? Well, they're saying, "We're playing the Abraham card.
We're a child of Abraham. Jesus said, it don't matter if you're a child of Abraham. If you're a child of Abraham, you'd be like him. You'd believe me. Amen. Later on, he tells him, he said, Abraham saw my day and he was glad. Thank God Abraham believed in me. Amen. Can I tell you? Woo, it don't matter who you are. You know, I've had people, and you probably have too, tell you, say, do you know who I am? Amen. Do you know who I am? Do you know who I know? Do you know how I'm connected? And most of the time, I didn't. I was just dumb. And you know what? It really didn't matter a lot of times. Amen. I mean, I've had people put, they're kind of, ooh, don't you know who I am? No, I'm sorry, I don't. And then sometimes after they told me, it still didn't matter. Amen? Because you know, what's right's right and what's wrong's wrong. Amen? I've seen a lot of high-class people that had money and places and prestige and all that, and they're just as sorry and low down as that drunk out on the street. Amen? And you know what? They needed Jesus just like he did. Amen? But this thing is in a person. And that person is Jesus. It's not your family. Now, I don't care if you're a Rockefeller. I don't care if you're Bill Gates. I don't care if you're any of these other magnanimous people that are on the news that we see. Doesn't matter. Amen? Don't matter how many billions. Don't matter how many trillions you got. Hey, what matters is if you know Jesus. Amen? So he speaks about the person of this deliverance. But I want you to notice the power of this deliverance. Again, you notice that he says that if the Son shall make you free. As I said, there's a difference in being set free and made free. Set free is, as we might say, the emancipation is being made free. As I say, Lincoln signed that Emancipation Proclamation. You know what that said? That said that a black man was just as good as a white man. It said, you're free. You mean I don't have to? You don't have to. You don't have to. You don't have to be a servant of sin anymore. Isn't that what Paul said Jesus came to do? And Jesus himself said he came to make us free? I mean, we're set free, friends. You're set free. You're not what you used to be. And thank God, hey, I ain't what I used to be, and I'm not what I'm going to be, but thank God what I am right now is real different too. Amen? Hey, I'm made free by a power that is not understood in this world. I mean, it wasn't a decree that was signed by some man or some group down here. It was from heaven. Amen. You know what Jesus said? You remember we talked about this several times? Jesus said, you know, when his disciples come, said, well, even the devils were subject to us in your name. Jesus said, don't rejoice in that. He said, but you ought to rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Amen. Woo! That's where that decree got signed. God put your name down in heaven as one of the redeemed, one of the saints, one of the born again. Woo! Thank God you're one of them now. Amen. Aren't you glad you're one of them? Amen. You're one of them. He says, look, here's the power of this thing, but listen, here's the promise that you find in it. He said, "You, if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free." Look what he says. Free. He doesn't just stop it there. He says, indeed. And that word indeed means in actuality and reality. You're actually free. What that means is nobody can come up to you and say, you know, I changed my mind. You know, I've been thinking about this, and you're still my slave. You know, I've been thinking this over, and I'm going to rescind that. No, sir. When the Lord makes you free, it's real. It's a real, absolutely actual freedom. I mean, look, you have the actuality of freedom. You have the reality of freedom. Listen, the Jews at that time, through Moses, we know they were given the 613 laws that they had to keep. Now, I mean, you think about that. Some of y'all have hard enough time driving down the road looking at them 35 mile an hour, 55 mile an hour. You're so messed up, you drivers drive 55 or 60 all the time, let them sort it out, amen? Well, there's signs down there that says, here you can do this, and there you can do that. But don't get that mixed up, right? I mean, and y'all go ahead. Amen? We got a police officer in here. He'll arrest you. Go ahead, Isaiah. Amen. Put a cuffs on him. No, I'm kidding. But you know, we do see that they're loaded down. And could you imagine? I mean, those poor people are afraid to move sometimes. They might come to somebody and say, I don't know whether to do this or not. Is this according to the law of Moses? Or is this? And then on top of that, they begin to bring in the traditions of the elders. And they begin to tell them what they couldn't do. You remember that? And some of y'all have been, when we were in Bible college and we studied that. I mean, there's something. Do you know that there was for the priest, there was a certain way they had to wash their hands? They had to start on a certain hand, end up on a certain hand, and do it in a such and such way. And if you didn't, boy, you wasn't right with God. I mean, and there were so many laws and commandments for those poor people. They just didn't know what to do. You know what Jesus said? I've come to set you free from that mess. I have come, and I'm going to make you free from all of that rigmarole. That, you know what Jesus told the Pharisees and Sadducees? He said, you laid them down. You laden the people with all of these burdens, and you won't lift one of your little old fingers to help them one little bit. But you know what Jesus said? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Thank God he made us free. Amen. Do you know, if you're not careful, you'll run around and there'll be people that tell you, oh, I seen you do this. You're wrong in that. And you know what? You can probably follow me around and I'll be wrong in a lot of things. I might say something. I might do something. I might be somewhere. And people have all of those things in their minds, right? And they'll tell you about them sometime. But can I tell you this? When the Lord makes you free, you're free. You're free from all of that junk. You're free from all of that critical talking and pointing out. All of, you're free from that. Now, I'm not saying you go out here and do whatever you want to and be a hellion and get into all kinds of stuff. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you don't have to worry about what everybody else is saying and pointing and thinking about you. All you have to do is say, Lord, I'm yours and I'm trying to serve and please you. Amen. I've been made free this morning by the wonderful, amazing grace of God. When Jesus shed that blood and paid my debt, I couldn't do it. I couldn't keep the law. I couldn't work the commandment. I just couldn't do it. Because, see, my flesh is weak like yours. But Jesus came and said, I can. Amen. I can. And he did. And he died in my stead. And then you know what he said? What Paul said? Paul said that he came and took on my sin so that you and I might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. I've been made free. Hadn't you? If you hadn't this morning, be a good time to get there. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a verse of a song if you would. And if you're here today, you're still in bondage to your sin, you're still wrapped up with it. You still don't know whether to go this way or that or do that.